97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard. Hope you're all having a tremendous day. Utah hitting the road. They've got a big one as they, or excuse me, Utah at home, excuse me, as they get set for a big one against Arizona State. Trevor Allen, KSL Sports, joining us on the Smart Rain guest line. Kind enough to join us. Trevor, how you doing?
Hey, Trevor.
Guys, I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing well. So this is a huge, huge game for both these teams, as whoever wins this game will certainly have an inside track to the South Division. Do you look at this? I mean, we're still, you know, near the midway point of the season, but do you feel like there's a lot of pressure on both these teams coming into this game?
Absolutely there is, because as you guys know, neither team has lost in conference play so far. ASU has 3 wins, Utah has 2, but, you know, when it comes down to it, USC is probably out of the race. The Bruins are probably still in it because they're 2-1. But then you have Colorado and the Wildcats are both, you know, out of it as well. I mean, if it ends up coming down to it, to where both the Sun Devils and Utes are tied at the end of the regular season, the head-to-head matchup, whoever wins that ends up winning the tiebreaker and gets to go to Las Vegas to play for a Pac-12 championship. But, you know, for Utah to have this game at home is huge. But this Sun Devils team is no joke at all.
Mm-hmm. It's a good team. 2 injuries I'm really worried about. I don't know if you have any insight on it or if you have any gut feeling on it. But Nephi Sewell and Jaron Kump went down last week against USC. I know Sewell came back, if I remember right, Trevor. But do you have any insight or any thoughts on those two?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't able to see him at a practice this week, but that, you know, a lot of it was because they were already all coming off the field when we were allowed to go onto the practice field to do interviews. But, you know, Kyle Whittingham said there isn't any season-ending injuries, which is a really good sign, which means Jaron Kump could still play this year. And then with Nephi coming back in, I think was really crucial to have him come back in, and it means that he's probably doing better than we all thought, because it didn't look good when he went down early in that game against SC. But Hans, as you know, Utah's starting to get a little bit more depth up front on the offensive line. Right now, they're probably about 6 or 7 guys deep right now, but as you know, Utah likes to go about 10. So having Jaron Kump in the lineup would definitely be very vital for Utah if they want to be able to keep Cam Rising without getting sacked.
Trevor Allen joining us from KSLSports.com on the Smart Rain guest line. Utah will be in a drought next summer. Smart Rain knows that those 2022 planning budgets for most businesses are coming up soon. Take advantage of their Save Now, Pay Later promotion and do your part by saving water while saving money. Check out Best of State Award winner Smart Rain at smartrain.net. So you were down in the Coliseum. You watched that game against USC. Is your opinion of Utah different and your expectations maybe a little higher for this team after what you saw them do against USC last week?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, going into the year, I thought that they could win the Pac-12 South, potentially a Pac-12 championship. And then they end up playing decent against Weber State. I mean, Jay has a great program, but again, it is Weber State, and Utah's just on another level. And then they go down to Provo and just get manhandled up front. In the trenches, Kyle Whittingham has even said he would bet his house that going into that game that they wouldn't get beat up by BYU on their D-line. And, you know, that exactly is what happened. And then San Diego State, things were looking better. But I think a lot of it was just that the problems up front on the O-line. Charlie Brewer is, you know, a talented quarterback. I don't want to take anything away from him, but I think the reason why there was a change is that he seemed to be a quarterback who could only thrive when you have a really good O-line, and to where he doesn't have to scramble out of the pocket. And Cam Rising came in that San Diego State game and really just, you know, was stiff-arming guys. He was trying to do everything possible to get the ball downfield, and they were able to make a comeback, but obviously fell short in overtime. But and then in that Washington State game, I mean, the fact that you still fumbled the ball 7 times and then still win the game and really drop the ball 10 times. And then in that game against the Trojans at the Coliseum, I just felt like everything was clicking. They were able to get a rhythm going. I mean, after that, you know, first quarter, but really when that flea flicker happened late in the second quarter, where Cam Rising actually called it and, you know, actually misread his armband. That was a huge boost, and it ended up, you know, leading to a really big victory in the Coliseum, where I just feel like now Utah finally has that balanced attack, and they also have their five guys up front, given hopefully that Jaren Kump is healthy. So, yeah, I definitely think that it's kind of been a up-and-down roller coaster, because I wasn't so high on them after their loss to San Diego State. But now that they've started to ride the ship a little bit, I'm definitely seeing that there is a chance for them to still win the Pac-12.
Speaking of a roller coaster, I'll bet you Kyle Whittingham has been on the coaster of his life. I mean, not just the games that he's won and lost, but the emotions that he's been through. You've now seen him going into the USC game kind of with the unknown, and now you've seen him come out of the USC game, and you've been able to see his face and hear his voice. What is his countenance and emotion like this week as compared to last week, and how do you feel like he's doing mentally with what he's dealing with?
Man, I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard to really tell where he's at mentally, because he really keeps things close to the vest, and he kind of puts on, you know, his media face when talking to us. But you can just tell whenever you lose two of your players and hands, you know, this point playing the game, those coaches are like father figures to you. And for him to lose two of his sons in the last year, tragically, I mean, it's got to take a toll on him. And for him to, I mean, it was crazy in that presser going into the game against the Trojans. We ended up spending a lot of time talking about Aaron Lowe, and he just seemed just so wiped out, so drained, so hurt. And then and then after the game, after they won, there was such a huge smile on his face that, you know, it was just something he knew this program needed. But I know that Kyle's towards the end of his career, but I mean, I wouldn't throw out any kind of possibility of these tragedies taking a toll on him potentially calling it quits earlier.
Trevor Allen joining us from KSLSports.com right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. So give me your keys. What do you want to see in this game? What do you need to see from the University of Utah to go up and get a win against, frankly, arguably one of the best teams that they face this year?
I mean, first off, they're going to have to slow down Jane Daniels. He hasn't really thrown the ball much. He only has four touchdowns, but he also has three picks. So if you can force him to kind of throw downfield and really try to test Utah's secondary, that would be what I would try to do. But try and also get him to stay in that pocket, because he's second on the team with 369 rushing yards and three touchdowns on the ground. But then, you know, you also got to keep in mind the balanced attack as far as how he's throwing the ball to his targets. I mean, they have three guys that have over 200 yards receiving. So that would be number one. Number two, I mean, it ends up going without saying, so I'm not going to have this as another key, but you can't turn the ball over. The fact that the Utah put up 42 points and didn't turn the ball over once against the Trojans last week was massive and a huge boost to this offense, and as far as giving them confidence to go into this game, because this defense they're going to be facing coming up on Saturday, it's nothing compared to what they ended up seeing last week. It's a much improved defense. Herm Edwards has done a phenomenal job being able to recruit some really talented players that have 21 sacks, 8 picks, in just, you know, the short time this year. So you've got to be able to take care of the ball, but then also just play with that chip on your shoulder. Play with that same emotion you had going into the SC game, because I know a lot of the guys' mindsets have changed now that they're not just playing for Ty Jordan, but also for Aaron Lowe.
My good friend and the man they call Frank Dolce De Leche yesterday on the Utah preview show said that he's not so sure that the running back room and running back order is 100% sealed up and in cement. What do you expect to see from running back rotations coming up tomorrow against Arizona State?
Go hands. It's funny that you asked that, because it seems like every single week it's always a different guy, right? You know, you go in and it's Tavion Thomas against Weber State. It's Bernard against BYU. It's Pledger against Washington State. And then you know, Thomas against the Trojans. I mean, it's crazy that how you know, different these player styles are, but how it you just kind of got to go through the whole running back room to figure out who's got the high end. And probably going into this game, it's probably going to be Tavion Thomas, now that hopefully he's figured out how to keep the ball in his hands and not put it on the deck. I really think it's going to be him, and then Bernard, I think, is going to be right there behind him with T.J. Pledger, and I think it's just whoever has the hot hand. Kyle Whittingham mentioned that's kind of where they're at, but as far as starting out the game, you kind of got to see what Thomas can give you, especially with a really stout D-line from ASU.
I mean, that I think that's the interesting point, because Tavion Thomas had a really great performance, didn't put the ball on the ground, but Kyle Whittingham's not just handing him the job and saying, all right, you had one good game, let's go. I mean, I think that this is a process where he really, after what we saw earlier in the year, he's really making Tavion Thomas earn his trust back.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what Kyle said, is that, you know, the fact that he didn't put the ball on the deck is a good thing. But it actually kind of seems like, and again, I'm just reading between the lines here, that you end up putting the ball down, you know, fumble it, that kind of takes you two, three, maybe even four steps back from how much progress you're making, compared to you only take one step forward if you rush for 100 yards and, you know, a touchdown or two. So it's very critical, and I know Hans has talked about this before, where maybe you're, you know, preaching – holding on to the ball too much, to where it's really starting to get nerves for these running backs. You can kind of tell, especially in that Washington State game, you know, Pledger had the ball. He was holding on to it with, you know, two hands and hovering over it. And, you know, everyone was just trying to hold on to the ball for dear life, because, you know, I still have never seen a game like that where you fumble the ball seven times. But, you know, maybe they're preaching it too much. But if that was kind of the, you know, starting point of not fumble the ball last week, to keep that going throughout the rest of the season, then whatever they did after the Washington State game worked.
Well, hey, we appreciate your time, Trevor. Great stuff. Enjoy the games coming up this weekend. Look forward to catching up with you again here soon.
Thanks, Trevor.
Sounds good, Scotty and Hans. Thank you, guys.
Good stuff, man.
Trevor Allen, KSLSports.com, right here on the Zone Sports Network. All right, Utah, Arizona State. Man. It's a big game. It's a tough one to really wrap your brain
around. It's a big game. Think about how much Utah could redeem their entire season with a win. It would shake loose everything that happened in the non-conference games. It would just shake it all loose, because now you're sitting 3-0. You're sitting the top of the South Division. You've beat the best teams in the South Division outside of yourself. And you're in full control. You're looking more powerful and ready for Oregon State and Stanford and that UCLA run, that stretch that we were just talking about. It would do so much. And on the flip side, if Arizona State comes in and moves you around a little bit, beat you up a little bit like they've been doing to teams, that could be devastating. Now, that could set the team back, because then they're like, well, you know, now we feel like we've let ourselves down when we promised ourselves that we would play for something bigger this year. And it can play mind games with you. A devastating loss could play mind games with them. So this Arizona State game, this is as fun as it gets for me. Big matchup, entertaining storylines. And I'm not saying that Cam Rising and this Utah team can't do it. They very much can. It's just going to be a tall task for them. This defensive backfield for Arizona State is so good.
So physical. And your wide receivers are going to get tested. Britton Covey's going to get mugged like he always is, but against some really good competition.
Yep.
And they're going to get after Cam Rising, too. I mean, this is a defensive backfield where they can bring some pressure and man up on these guys and really force them to try to create something on their own.
I'm hoping to see some creativity and ingenuity from Andy Ludwig. You're going to need it against Arizona State.
Yeah.
I don't think they can just come play straight up. I think they need some wrinkles. I don't care if you run that H-back fly sweep 34 times. Do, you know, have it five times. No, I'm just kidding. Five times with Keithy, 10 times with Covey, five times with Tavion.
You need to see it with Keithy. You need to at least
I know.
Even if you fake it to him, you still got to use it as part of your arsenal. He's too good of an athlete not to use it.
And it works every time.
It seems like it.
I've never seen it get stopped when Keithy's running it.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Frank Schwab's going to join us coming up in the 12 o'clock hour. Also, coming up a little bit later on the program, how would you spend $1 million? Well, Donovan Mitchell kind of gave some details on how he spent his first $1 million.
I'm curious to see how you'd spend yours.
Well, it's different. If now in my 40s, I would spend a lot different than I would when I was 21, 22.
But I'm going to ask you, get it in your mind now, not back then.
No. How I would spend it now?
Yep.
That'd be boring. That'd be boring radio. Pay off my house. Set up college funds for my kids.
Nothing fun?
Oh, no. There'd be some fun. Remodel my house. Because I love where I live. Absolutely love the neighborhood. Love everything about where I live. But that house needs a little TLC.
What I thought was interesting is how Donovan spent his.
Yeah.
And how opposite it is from how I would spend mine. I've got some questions for you on it.
Even now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got some questions for you on it. We'll play Donovan Mitchell the way he spent his first million. And I'll give you some thoughts on how different it would be for me. Now and then.
Yes. Well, I mean, look, you put $1 million in the hands of 21-year-old Hans Olsen, that could be a problem. Actually, no, I don't think you ever really were a lavish spender.
No. Every penny I got, I saved and I put into investments. I made a good chunk of money in my 7 years of professional football. I made a good chunk of money. And I put most of it into investments. I told you about the only big expenditure I had. I bought one of those huge tube TVs. When I made the roster my rookie year with the Colts, it was like a 56-inch, but it weighed like 1,200 pounds.
Oh, yeah, those big ones were nuts. I bought one of those, a 32-inch TV, and one of those, and it weighed like 300-400 pounds, and it was only 32 inches.
Yeah, this thing was massive. And I bought it for one reason, and that was the third fight in the Ward Gotti trilogy. I bought it because I'm like, I had the weekend coming up. I had just gotten $16,000 or $17,000 paycheck for the week, and I'm like, oh, that's a lot of money. I'm gonna buy a big TV so I can watch this fight.
The only problem is you only get 16 of those.
Yeah,
it's not spread. A lot of people don't know that you don't get it spread out over the year. You get game checks.
Yeah.
Now those game checks can be really impressive, but but that's it. After December, they go away until September of the following year.
Yeah, and then you're figuring out what in the heck you're gonna do. Then you go work on a paint crew. Because that, no, you nowadays, rookies now are at 680,000, I think. I was at 298. I think rookies are 680 now. Now I know how my uncles felt when I was a rookie. Because when I was a rookie at 298,000.
As an undrafted free agent.
As an undrafted free agent, my Uncle Phil, who was the number two overall pick, was like, you're making how much a year? What? I think I outpaced Merlin's highest contract.
Oh, my gosh.
Merlin Olsen.
It's ridiculous. Those guys are like, we were born 40 years too early.
Yeah. But don't worry. FTD helped Merlin out.
NBC and FTD took very good care of him.
Yeah.
Little House on the Prairie took very good care of him.
Yeah, I think
he... Did he make good money on the TV?
I think
the
family
TV?
Still gets royalties on Little House.
Well, no, because that means people would actually have to still watch it.
Hey, dude.
That was really rude. I'm really sorry. I'm joking. That didn't come out the way I thought it would. Sorry, that didn't come out the way I meant it. Sorry.
It came out exactly
no,
how you meant it.
No, that's not how I meant it. No, I came out wrong. I'm really sorry.
A lot of people still watch that.
They do.
There's a reason love why it's still on TV.
Exactly. That's that's what I meant.
But that's not what you meant.
You reminded me of Will Ferrell on Old School when he tries to give the bread maker back. I gave you that bread maker for your wedding. Oh, I like this model? No, that exact one. Oh, I love it. I hope you like that. Yeah. Oh, I love it.
That did not come out the way I intended it.
Yeah, it did. I still watch it, and I still love it.
Do you really still watch it? You get the kids together and still
watch
it?
Yeah, Rock loves it. because Rock loves to see his Uncle Merlin.
Now, okay, now that.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if just some random family is dialing up Little House on the Prairie.
Don't know. Hatch, you come across as a guy that might watch Little House from here to, from time to time.
I watched it a lot growing up, I can tell you that much. And when I realized who your uncle was and him being on that show, it made it all the better.
It's all the better. And when you realize as your kids get older how much trash there is on TV, it's like, well, maybe something wholesome.
Yeah, Laura Ingalls Wilder is your best friend.
I don't know, man. There's some stuff on there that they get a little loose on.
Well, the Old West wasn't easy. Yeah. There was a lot of malaria.
Who is the who's the dude in the beard, the kind of the gruff guy?
Well, there's Isaiah, who was Charles' best friend before Jonathan Garvey, Merlin, came in. Mr. Edwards?
Yeah, I think that's who it was.
Mr. Edwards was the big beard.
Yeah.
Thing, there once was a man from...
Nantucket?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or... Yeah, anyways, used to have something like that. I don't know if that was the one.
Wow. All right, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hey, my parents made me watch it.
It's good.
Good and wholesome fun.
You're darn right.
Although, come on, can we just talk about the fact that when Lori get married at, like, what, 13?
No, she was, like, 14.
And what was his? What was the husband's name?
Almanzo.
Almanzo. He's like 27?
Manly. No, he was 26.
Okay. Isn't that just a little weird?
Well, maybe for the Old West, not so much. Okay. Well, you used to marry him early, Scotty.
That's a fair point. All right. Hands on Scotty.
That's a fair point. I'll tell you what was shocking, though, was episode 3. And I sent
Are we going to go episode by episode now?
I sent you a text about episode 3.
You know what? Maybe this...
They need to do some editing.
Hey, Jake, maybe this is your new podcast, is Hans doing a podcast on each episode.
Hey, those are all the rage right now.
I know. That's what The Office, they go through each episode, do a podcast about each single episode.
Friday Night Lights, the TV show, they just launched their podcast for like 3 episodes in. So, Hans, this is something to look into.
And it's blowing up. Yeah. And it's like...
I could do it, and I would be really good at it.
I'm sure you would.
And Rock would, too, because it's Rock's favorite show.
Maybe you and Rock do a podcast.
A father-son podcast on Little House.
The lineage of Jonathan Garvey.
There's some stuff that's really tough to talk about. You're right.
Well, that age difference thing, yeah.
Yeah. I guess it'd be a father explaining to his son how it was done in the old Western times. But, Dad, how come she's so young? Well, son, that's just how they did it in the West. The old West.
All right. 11:29. Good, the Bad, the Ugly. Coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
It's game week for the Utes, and the Zone Sports Network is getting you ready for kickoff. The Utes return to Rice-Eccles Stadium for a big Pac-12 showdown against Arizona State. As the Utes hope to keep their dreams of a Pac-12 title alive, listen all week for your chance to win tickets to the game. And then catch the Ute pregame show Saturday at 7, with a postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the post-game press conference, nobody brings you better coverage of Ute football.
You ready?
Yeah!
Than 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. It's your Cougars at 30 update right here on the Zone Sports Network as James Empey and this BYU team hits the road to the Lone Star State to take on Baylor, and they know they've got their work cut out for them with this Baylor squad.
They're a defense that plays really hard. They're disciplined. They play their style of defense. They're physical. They do what they do, and I've been impressed with them on film. I'm excited for the challenge. You love the challenge. You love to have big games like these against good opponents and good defenses, and you know, I think everybody's excited to get back to work this week and figure out how to get better and figure out how to go after these guys, and they look good on film, and it's an exciting matchup because it's some great competition.
Subtape brought to you by Marley's Gourmet Sliders. Time to get the sliders in you. Killer, Rickster, Classic, Fajita, or just their killer breakfast burritos. And don't forget about those best shoestring fries out there. Marley's Gourmet Sliders, just off I-15 inside. Tippinoga's Harley-Davidson.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and, well, the winners. It's the good, the better, and the best. Now here's the good.
You know, it's been a while since we've done good, better, best, and it also gives me a little, to a certain extent, a little PTSD because we did good, better, best in the heat of the pandemic because we wanted to bring a little positivity. So every time I think about doing good, better, best, I'm like, ooh, are we going to have anything to talk about?
It makes it clean up just a touch, doesn't it? But that was fun.
That was fun because, you know, it was nice to actually, you know, actually talk about nothing but good things. Because, you know, look, you only bat 330 on good stories and good, bad, ugly.
Yeah.
But here, we got a lot of good stories to talk about today.
A lot of good that's going on. And I wanted to start with this. Rudy Gobert has teamed up with Smith's Foods, and they're teaming up with the Salt Lake Education Foundation. And, Scotty, they're going to be opening a food pantry at Northwest Middle School. I just think that this is incredible. I think it's an incredible effort for all involved. And you remember going back years and years ago when Rudy Gobert started to be a little bit more open with who he is and what he's been through. He went through some tough times as a youth. Things weren't always easy for Rudy Gobert growing up. And I think that that has instilled a real sense of empathy in him. And not only is he doing great things back in his homeland, he's doing great things here in the state of Utah. And this is a big one. There are some estimates out there with how many kids go hungry in this state, specifically in this district that he's going to be helping, the Northwest Middle School. And some of the numbers are staggering. I'm unable to allow myself to think too deeply about it because it just hurts too bad to think that there's kids out there that are hungry, like genuinely hungry,
yeah.
And the amount of them that's hungry. And Rudy Gobert opening up this food pantry and working with Smith's and working with the Salt Lake Education Foundation, it just did my heart really good to read through the story.
I mean, there was a school that was referenced in the story where 86% of the students going to that school were living below the poverty line. And a lot of us are really, really lucky. A lot of us are really, really fortunate to have
an insane percent.
I know, to have the opportunities that we have. And there's a lot of us in our communities that do not have that same kind of good fortune. And a lot of those kids, unfortunately, are going to school, and those are the only meals they're getting are while they're at school. And imagine, I mean, just talk. David James has done so much good work with the Road Home and with the and with a bunch of different school districts, and he tells stories all the time about a coach talking to his basketball player and this basketball player really struggling, and the coach is getting on him, and then realizes that, well, the kid may be struggling because he hasn't eaten in 2 days. You know, little stories like that where you just don't even you can't even comprehend some of the struggles that a lot of people are going through. And a lot of these kids who they're in these situations at no fault of their own. They've done nothing wrong. They haven't made any bad life choices or any mistakes that have gotten them in this situation.
That's why
they're
in it. Hard. It's just tough to even put yourself into it and think too deep about it. You know, Scotty and I always talk about the foods that we love and the amazing foods. And we've been blessed enough to have access to those foods. And you know, it's not like you and I were swimming in money when we were young, and it's not like our parents were swimming in money when we were young, but we had everything.
Never hungry.
Never hungry. And to think that there's kids out there that are hungry and think that there's heroes out there. And, you know, Rudy Gobert's making millions of millions. I understand that. I think a lot of people love to dismiss it and be like, well, they should be helping. They make millions. Well, until you're in the position where you got millions and how you go about helping, I would just be grateful that there's people like that out there doing this. So big props to Rudy. Big props to all of these Jazz players that make Utah a home and make it a point to help make it a better, more healthy overall community. And starting with the kids and starting with hunger is a really good place to start.
By the way, apologies. They're setting up for the snowmobile show, so you're hearing they got a big forklift here, and they've got the big scissor truck and all kinds of stuff going on in the background. So, yeah, all kinds of stuff going on. And
It's exciting, though. Isn't this fun? This place is going to be...
It's going to be hopping.
Rocking here.
Remember, the snowmobile show gets underway today at 3 o'clock. We're here live. Show gets over at 2, but the big event gets underway at 3 o'clock, so get your tickets. $10 a piece. Kids under 12 get under for free, or get in. Get in for free. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the better.
And now the better.
This is something that as soon as the AAC lost their three teams to the Big 12, I felt like this is an opportunity for the Mountain West Conference to try to better itself. Get better, go out there, and not just better yourself, but also weaken your competition. And the Mountain West Conference has been lapped over and over the last several years by the AAC. Now the AAC loses their prime teams. Now's the time to go for the knockout punch. Because just know, if you don't do it, the AAC is going to try to do it to you. And they did by getting dangerously close to stealing away. And I still don't know why Colorado State and Air Force didn't jump to the AAC, because it seemed like they were on their way. But changed their mind at the last second. They went after Boise State. They went after San Diego State. But the Mountain West is still staying together. And now, finally, Craig Thompson tells, I believe, a newspaper out of Colorado Springs that the Mountain West is now exploring expansion options. There's two reasons why you should be doing this. Number one, I would go after AAC teams to try to put your foot on the throat there. But also know that you're fine now, but I think Boise State is still a very prime Big 12 candidate when the Big 12 has another round of expansion. So you need to prepare yourself for that. Just know that the AAC is going to come calling again. I think Boise State is a viable independent option. If ESPN says, hey, look, we lost a independent BYU team, would you be interested in that? So this thing is still very much in flux. So I think it's also smart for the Mountain West to try to get out ahead of things, knowing that there could be more teams down the line that they could lose. But Craig Thompson's got to get on his horse, and he's got to find a way to be a little bit more aggressive than what they have been, because standing pat is no bueno right now in the landscape of college athletics.
Well, if I was Craig, I'd be a little bit more vindictive about it, too.
Yes.
Like, you tried to come after mine. You tried to get mine. Now I'm going to make you pay. You don't come after my guys. You don't come after my schools, tried to dismantle my conference when you're the ones that are hurting. I'd be vindictive. And I would go after the AAC like crazy, if for any other reason, to make them nervous. But you do bring up a good point. There's going to be another round of expansion, and I'm hoping that the Mountain West Conference is ready to handle whatever that looks like, because it's probably going to be San Diego State and Boise State. There's probably going to be a conference that'll pull that San Diego footprint and that Boise State, with what history they've got, bring that Boise State team with them. I just want the Mountain West Conference to be proactive, and I want the West to stay solid. Well, we just about watched the AAC dismantle the West, because if they get Boise State and San Diego State, then we watch the Mountain West Conference scramble. Maybe they're trying to add teams in the West. Maybe they're trying to just add anybody to try to stabilize the Mountain West Conference, the main conference in the West that is not a Power Five.
Yep.
We almost watched that be dismantled.
Yep.
And I don't want that to happen.
No, I don't either.
So as aggressive, and even if there is some vindictive nature to it, go after those teams that you see can be most stabilizing to your conference. Because the AAC, Scotty, without Houston, Cincinnati, and Central Florida, that becomes a very weak conference. That becomes a bottom dweller.
Yep, it's not good.
The AAC without Houston, Cincinnati, and Central Florida, you would have SMU that would be your bell cow this year. And after that, you've got nobody. South Florida has been atrocious. Navy has been atrocious. They've got 3 1-win teams right now. Tulane, South Florida, and Navy. 1-5 teams. Terrible. Tulsa's bad. Memphis is bad. Temple's not good. East Carolina's not good.
No, it's awful.
That's your conference.
That's your conference right now.
That's the AAC.
And I think ultimately Air Force and Colorado State saw that, like, no.
So we're going to travel all over the country to go there?
Yeah. Hard pass.
And when San Diego State and Boise State held strong, I think they were like, yeah, we got to find something better.
All right, there's your better. Let's get to the best.
And now, the best.
And we talk about a great weekend of college football. Utah, Arizona State, BYU hitting the road to take on Baylor. Hey, as soon as 2 o'clock hits, I'm going to hit my car and I'm driving to Vegas to see UNLV and Utah State. We'll have the call of that game coming up tomorrow. But hands, the college football weekend begins tonight as a huge one on ESPNU, Montana State, and Weber State.
Oh, man. That is a big game. That's on ESPNU tonight.
Yep, Weber State will host Montana State. Montana State's been good in football for a long, long time, and it'll be a battle, and it should be a lot of fun. Montana State coming in ranked number nine in the country. I believe Weber State's 16 or 17 in that range. So you got a top 25 matchup in the FCS, a huge Big Sky matchup between these two teams. Bronson Barron, according to Jay Hill, should be healthy and ready to go in this game for Weber State. This is going to be a fun one. ESPNU tonight, I believe, kickoff is at 8 o'clock.
Weber State is a 1.5-point favorite, believe it or not. But Weber State is also staring down the barrel of a potential 2-4 start to their season.
Yeah.
Which would be a really terrible start, considering the fact that Weber State had a lot of expectations going into the season.
That thing doesn't go very fast. I think he's going slow on purpose.
He drove as close to us as he could, too.
We got a big scissor truck here at the Expo Center.
My time to shine on the Hanson Scotty Show. They're going to hear my cart whether they like it or not. I feel like there's Kyle Whittingham somewhere doing an interview.
Oh, I know. Pretty soon we're having a jugs machine out here.
This guy driving by with his machine and a jugs machine. And then us barely being able to hear Coach Witt say things that are very important.
Jake, I got to imagine that stuff's coming over the air pretty good, right?
It is, but it does remind me of the lawnmower with Kyle Whittingham for a while there. And it was like, it had to be on purpose. It was just.
Montana State, Weber State, big game. Could you imagine Weber State loses this and starts the season 2-4?
I can't. But, hey, this is the best team they faced so far.
Yeah, this is a huge team.
I mean, outside maybe James Madison. I forget about that team. They're obviously an elite-level FCS team.
You talked about Montana State putting it right to the end with Wyoming, right? I mean, they had Wyoming.
Yeah, they had Wyoming dead to rights. They should have beaten Wyoming.
Wyoming just lucked out and got that win, but just by the skin of their teeth. Yeah.
All right, there you go. Good, better, best right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. A Friday edition of Whole World News straight ahead right here on The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome in former BYU wide receiver Dylan Colley. Do you find Baylor to be a little bit of a mystery?
It's definitely a mystery, and that's only because of their new offensive coordinator. Who's the one that's actually calling the plays? Depending on how many times they fake the jet sweep, you'll have a pretty good idea of who's calling the plays.
So you're saying Grimes likes to fake the jet sweep a lot?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you were able to watch 2018, but I probably faked the jet sweep about 1,500 times.
Well, you got yourself in shape then.
Oh, I was in shape. Sideline to sideline, baby.
Hey, they had to respect your speed.
No question.
What did it say about you? Question. I think it said good things about you.
Let me tell you, it was a tough one. When I did get it, though, it worked out.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's another edition of Whole World News right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Brought to you by our friends at EliteWorks. If you're not happy with your website, that means other people aren't happy with your website, which also means that people are thinking your business isn't good if you have a bad website. Well, EliteWorks will rebuild your website absolutely 100% for free. Give them a call right now, 844-523-2777. And plus, if you need a new build, they're going to give you a ton of savings on that as well.
Yeah. It's a hosting software as well as a building software, so they're able to keep their building prices way lower than anybody out there that's just building websites. If you need a website, call them right now, 844-523-2777. Scotty, I just saw this as a listing, just looking through some different real estate options. There's an entire town that's listed in Tennessee. You can buy the whole town of Water Valley, Tennessee. It's in Maury County, Tennessee. And you know, Tennessee is not – it's not booming right now. Tennessee is – they're always looking for growth. Like, I feel like here in the state of Utah, it's like, go to Tennessee, man. Like, I know everybody's coming here, but Tennessee's beautiful there, too. Go there. You can buy this whole town for $725,000.
Reminds me of that show. What is that? Creek Show. I think you can. I'm just not going to, but yeah.
Somebody bought a town?
Yeah. So, Jake, have you watched that show?
Yes, I have, and it's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, it's a great show.
So this town comes with four general stores. I do want to mention that the buildings were built right around 1900. These four general stores were actually built pre-1900. You should look up the listing on this town, Scotty. Go and look at these buildings. They're beautiful. Like, I know they're old, but they've got that.
Oh, wow. Old... I'm totally down for this.
I know, man. I looked at this. I'm like,
Hans, we got to do this.
Well, I was thinking about calling it, renaming it Hans and Scotty Town and just building our remote, like our broadcast booth there, and calling it Hans and Scotty Town. We could open up one of these as like a barbecue diner.
Yeah.
And then we could open up one of them as like a. Like a sports bar with, you know, your classic wings and stuff.
Look at that cool sign right there, that weathered sign. This is Water Valley right there.
I know. I love that town. You can buy that whole town for $725,000.
Well, you know, you probably work them down a little bit. Maybe you get it for $650 or something like that.
Two of the buildings that are included on the sale have just been updated, wiring and plumbing.
I don't know. Some of these buildings, they need some help. That's for sure.
They do, but think about how charming. I don't know if you've ever had any interest in running a bed and breakfast, like, but, you know, we could find something that we make that town into. And how fun would Hans and Scotty Town
be? Oh, man, Hans and Scotty Town.
Well, yeah, you know, we'll have, we could.
I mean, look at all this land here. We can have ourselves a music festival. Have Johnny put it all together.
Yeah. Yeah, do our own little Woodstock back there.
Yeah.
And first things first, building our barbecue joint in there, just taking one of those buildings and making it a big smokehouse and putting every type of fantastic meat you could think of into that smoke room and just providing some of the greatest meats. We would turn Hans and Scotty Town into a cult hit in within a month.
Easy. Easy.
People would come from every surrounding state into Hans and Scottyville.
The problem is we'd have to live in Tennessee.
That's a problem.
That's a downside.
Yeah, and Johnny would have to learn how to play the banjo.
Have you guys been to Tennessee? It's actually not bad.
I have, actually. I did. I covered the Utah State-Tennessee game.
Oh, yeah.
You
went to Knoxville like I did. I went down and watched the BYU one.
Yeah. The barbecue wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. I was a little disappointed with the barbecue. Went to two different places. Both of them were pretty substandard. Maybe we just picked the wrong places.
The burger chain down there, Cookout, to die for, I thought.
Really? See, that's what I missed out.
One of those crappy bowl games I played in was in Tennessee.
You got to go to Memphis, right?
I don't know where it was.
Liberty Bowl.
I think
Bowl.
It was Memphis.
Was that where...
That's
where the
Liberty
Bowl is.
Great town,
at.
Though.
I didn't like it. But I did love going through Elvis Presley's home. I really did love that. Graceland was pretty incredible. I believe that was in Memphis.
All right, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Coming up next, Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. We'll chat some NFL with him straight ahead right here on The Zone Sports Network.